This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. This is a podcast all about flight training, and this is the March 2025 episode. And I wanted to welcome you to the podcast. If it's your first time, definitely welcome. I know some of you have been around for a while listening to us. We have some other things we do, which I'll talk to you in a little bit, other things you can attend. But this is the podcast you found somehow. So at any rate, let me give you the topics. We're going to talk about our power hours, our CFI Bootcamp power hours, and how the audience has grown so significantly, and tell you all about that and why you might want to attend some of those. The other thing we're going to talk about is I did get a clarification email from the FAA about the IPC. So I was questioning some things there, and they actually responded to me, and I have that, and it can direct you to what it means, what to do. We're also going to talk about Mosaic. That's the modernization of a special airliner certificate, and that may very well become law during AirVenture of this year, July 2025. Look at that. That'd be interesting. Then we can talk about a meetup, meet and greet, if you want to say hi. I'm going to be at Sun and Fun, which is in Lakeland, Florida, I'll be there on the 4th through the 6th, 4th and 5th, let's call it. So there's an opportunity to say hi, right, if you want to. And then we're going to talk about some pro tips, okay, as we always do in the podcast. So let's get rolling here, okay? So the first thing then is we'll start at the beginning. Let's talk about how you can join various things. If you want to get a copy of our newsletter, the PDF version of this video podcast, then if you go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and if you get down to the bottom of the site, you'll see an opt-in for the newsletter, and you can do it that way. That's probably the easiest way. The other thing you might want to do is take a look at a preview of our online course. We have an online CFI course, and there's a preview of that, and that's available at the top of the website, cfibootcamp.com, on the right-hand side. If you're interested in the Power Hour, which is really a cool thing, we've done 227 of them. So this will be 228 coming up over 5 years, every Saturday, live from 12 to 1, then you can sign up for that as well. And that you'll find, there's a banner at the top of the website. It's a blue bar. And you have to be on a laptop. It does not work on mobile. And if you click that, it will deliver you to the Power Hour registration page. And if you do that, you get an email during the middle of the week saying what the topic's going to be and if it's wings credit or not, because some of them, most of them have wings credit. And then there'll be an email an hour before the show starts and then just as the show starts so you don't miss it, okay? So you get reminders of that. Let's talk about the Power Hour. So CFI Bootcamp now are drawing nearly 1,000 live attendees, somewhere between 400 and 1,000 or 800 per show, which is incredible. And most of them do have wings credit. So a lot of our people come from that. So we've started these in June of 2020, and this will be 5 years that we've done them almost every Saturday. We've done things like deep dives onto the mathematics behind it, some pylons, physics behind it, airspace. We've talked about maneuvers like chandelles, lazy eights, their histories. We've worked into handbooks from the past and what's relevant and why we should still use some of that stuff today. We've covered marketing. There's almost no topic in flight training that we haven't said something about. Avionics, many, many, many things. So everything's related to flight training. And it's either flight instructor centric or pilot centric. So that will vary with the crowd size will vary with that. So if it's something for all pilots, then we'll have a lot more attendees. If it's just for flight instructors, then we'll have less attendees. But we're getting a big tribe there, I might say, right? And then what we do something special. So the first hour is the full on show. And then we have a second hour and we don't advertise it sometimes. The second hour is I go through the chats, make sure I get all that done, and then we open up the mics for questions. So you can ask any question you want. And some people will be there to field them, like myself. Other people will just happen to be experts who appear in the room. Like we had Jim Viola from the FAA. He headed up AFS 800. So he was the manager of that whole certification of airmen, commercial and general aviation. So he was the head of that. He was there. He could answer questions. We have a guy named Rick. From the Fort Worth area, who was aircraft certification for FAA. We've had the previous past president of ALPA, the Airline Pilot Association. Union was on, and he gave us great insight. Not impromptu. They were not invited guests. They just show up, and we say, well, if you have something to say, let's hear it, right? Or if you don't like what we said, tell me what's wrong and how we fix it, like that. So that was good, right? So I think that is a really cool thing, and I believe these things are, it's on fire now. Let's just say that. It's really good. So we've got that. Now, in the near future, we're going to have on the CEO and the current president of AOPA, Darren Pleasance, who just joined AOPA. He agreed to do that at a little sit-down lunch. I was with him just impromptu at the AOPA Buckeye show. That's good. We'll have other people from SAFON, from NAFI. We'll have people from the Facebook study group and many others as the year goes on. So that's going to be exciting, big fun, exciting for us. And also, that's the second hour is going to segue. We also put a third hour in. So if things go over, then we just keep the room open. So I'm going to tell you something. Last Saturday, we kept the room open until 5 o'clock. So it started at noon. Show was over at 1. And people, there were still 85 people in the room at the top of the fourth hour. So from 12 to 1, then 1 to 5. That whole time, we start off with, say 5 or 600, and it dwindled down to about 300. And the next hour is like 200, and it went down to as low as about 80-something. But 80 people were still in there and talking. So I think that was, that's pretty, it says a lot. And so we're trying to build a little sense of community there so people can come in and have a place to hang out on Saturday, get a show or two out of it. And then from that, then just carry on with your own topics, whatever you want to talk about. So there's that. So I think that's good. So that's coming up. The next show will be Saturday, all Saturdays from noon Eastern time to 1. And again, the only way you kind of find out about them is maybe you could, I think if you Google it, you'll find. But if you go to our website, a laptop or something that's not mobile, then you'll see the bar up there. You click onto it. And I think if you go to the top left, there's a section that says Power Hours. I think you'll get the registration that way too. Okay, let's talk about the second thing, which was clarification on conducting an IPC gained from CFI Bootcamp's email to the FAA. So there's an advisory circular out there, 6198 Echo, that addresses giving a flight review an IPC. And I was kind of taking exception with it on the IPC a little bit. And also they were not mentioning some things in the conduct of the IPC that's now currently in the ACS. I'll tell you what that is. So what the main sticking point was, this is that it mentions in the ACS for instrument rating that for the PTS for flight instructor giving an IPC is an evaluator at that point. So then the language of what you need to do is changing. So it means that you have to look, and it says the evaluator must or has to, right? And the others will is permissive. Will is not permissive. May is permissive. That means you don't have to do it. Should is permissive. But when it uses those words, that means we have to do certain things. So in the appendix for the ACS for instrument rating, it defines that we have to conduct at least 2 non-precision approaches. If you just look at the ACS under non-precision approach, it won't say at least 2. You have to look at the appendix. And then it also says that you have to do one of these approaches or more. One of them has 3 different navigation systems. And then the other is you'll need to do 1 without the use of radar vectors from an initial approach fix, and 1 without the use of an autopilot, and one with the use of backup instruments or partial panel. So there's things in there that if you didn't know that, you didn't know you're an evaluator, you might not read that far. So anyway, ask for clarification on that, among other things. The other thing I asked for is, I said, in the AC, you talk about giving aeronautical knowledge. But yet in the matrix that says, or the table that says how to conduct an IPC, what must be tested, air of operation 1 and 2 in the instrument rating ACS don't need to be tested. So I said, why then are we asking things about that? And then the response came back. So the response came back as aeronautical knowledge is required, just not in those areas of operation. But if you look at all the other areas of operation, the knowledge areas are certainly things that people would need to know. And we can test that on the ground. And they also confirmed that you are an evaluator and you must follow all the rules where it says the evaluator must, unless it says on a practical test, which you're not giving. So that's something interesting. So I think that's the good thing. I'm going to put that on our website at some point, the letter. But it was from one of the ops inspectors at AFS 800. So, and he's, by the way, this Sean is his name, And he, by the way, is also part of the modernization of the Part 141 regulations. So I saw him in a meeting, online meeting. I went, ah, that's the guy who sent me the letter. And I thanked him because it was well thought out and it was lengthy and it addressed everything I thought was important to do. So I think that's really good. So let's think about that. So make sure you go to the appendix of the ACS and the instrument rating for precision and unprecision approaches and understand what you need to do. Okay, so that's that. Now, we did have a power hour on that. I did cover that, and that's in one of the power hours. The only way you get to our power hours in the past is you got to be on our membership site. And so you can go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, resources, Bootcamp Plus, and it will give you a 7-day trial even. You can try it out. Test drive it. You get all the power hours from all the years ago. And a lot of them are highly relevant, you know, with a lot of very specific things to talk about. For example, you know why the steep spiral is started upwind? It's the only maneuver like it. All the other ground reference maneuvers have a ground reference component to it or started downwind. Ah, why? So you got to go all the way back to the 1965 flight training handbook. But we went through the handbook in detail once, and we hear a lot of the whys. And the why, by the way, was after you've done it enough times, after you finished it, you should be straight in into the landing runway. That's the reason for it. So that's that. Or you could be high, and you could make a modified pattern is what the reason for it was. Okay, so there's that. All right, and the next topic down is going to be Mosaic. So Mosaic is a modernization of a special airworthiness certificate. And basically, it's a rewrite of some of the specifications to qualify a light sport airplane, what the qualifications are, and that then affects the privileges of a sport pilot, what they can fly. So essentially, what's going to happen is they're going to modify the rule. So it's going to be changes to that. And the changes are going to be kind of like this. Number one, sport pilots are going to be able to fly bigger airplanes. The gross weight's currently 1,320 pounds because of the stall speed. Well, they're increasing the stall speeds now. So up to 54 to 58, which means you're going to be able to fly things like Cessna 172s, 182s, perhaps Bonanzas, retractable landing gear, constant speed propellers, the whole thing. No twins and no IFR, but this becomes a national license that's quite useful. Right? So it's quite useful, especially flying airplanes like that. So that's one thing that Mosaic is going to bring. The other thing it's going to do is going to include night privileges at some point. Now, whether that be a separate rating, which I think it will be, or baked into the sport pilot certificate, you're going to be able to fly at night, which you currently can't do. So the other thing is there's a provision, we don't know if it will be approved, but probably to carry an extra passenger. So instead of one passenger, maybe a two. That'd be kind of good. And, of course, you can be able to fly now. Complex, retractable gear, controllable propeller, high-performance airplanes, all that will be on the table. And I think that'll be great for aviation. Also, if you don't know about the sport pilot certificate, once you have one, whether maybe you got rotorcraft or something else, or you come into an airplane, you don't need a DPE to add the privilege. So you just need two CFIs, one to do the training, and the other to do a proficiency check per the PTS, which is the current PTS for the sport pilot. And if that's passed, then endorsements placed in logbook, paperwork goes off to FAA, and you have airplane rating now, or helicopter. So it's just two CFIs, no DPEs. Now, this has the potential to open up market for sport pilots to fly more capable airplanes, like Cirruses even, right? So there'll still be no requirement for an FAA medical for the certificate. So a driver's license is all you need. So hopefully by AirVenture, that's what I was listening to a NAFI, it was called Mentor Live presentation, where a speaker who's connected with all this was talking about. And anyway, he said the FAA is hell-bent if they can do it, as long as they get through the current administration, which that was that for every regulation that you wrote, you needed to take away 10. But because all this is enabling, none of this is being restrictive at all. There's no restriction. Nothing here gives you less than. It gives you more than. So they don't think they have to go through that. And so they figured they're going to try to get it out in the Federal Register by AirVenture, which is in July of this year. And that would be something to see. And we have more to say about that. You're going to see a spike in business with that, because what you're going to start seeing is you're going to see people transitioning from rotorcraft, from the Army, from other places, have kind of low amounts of time, 700-800 hours. They're going to get ATPs and airplanes, and they're going to need to build time. And they're going to need to log PIC time. And the way you only can do that is if you're solo and with an endorsement. But if we get you a sport pilot certificate, two CFIs, right, then you can log PIC time during instruction, the whole time once once we get the sport pilot certificate privilege issued to you. So a little bit off, it's not off topic, but I have a lot more to say about that as it gets closer to July, because we'll need to queue up for that, okay? Okay, and then I will be, next topic, I'm going to be at Sun and Fun. Ooh, in Lakeland, Florida. I'm going to stay at a place that's near the Longhorn Steakhouse, which I like to go to there. I just go there. I'm only going for 2 days, so just go to that place and walk back. Nice little walk, come back, good. So I'm going to be there at SAFE's booth, Society of Aviation Flight Educators, safepilots.org. And I'll be hanging out in the booth there. It's Hangar B. So there's a bunch of hangars there. They're purpose-built for exhibitions, right, for these kind of things, for Sun and Fun. And it's going to be booth 80 and 81 is SAFE is going to be in there. So I'll be there. And I do also have a monthly, the monthly podcast, but we do the Power Hours, and I also have a YouTube channel. SAFE Boot Camp has a YouTube channel, which you see a lot of our content on. So if you want to stop by and say hello, we always have people come by and say, I'm in the Power Hour. I've been with it for 5 years, and here I am. That's totally fine. Love to see you. Like to talk to you. So stop by. We're also going to do that show. The Power Hour is going to be live from SAFE's booth because they have a dedicated 100 megabit down connection. It's going to be noon to 1 Eastern time on the 5th of April. And then after that, I'm going to give a talk at the CFI Roundup, which is sponsored by SAFE. It's in the Prop 75 room on the airshow site, Sun and Fun. And we're going to have Sporty's talk for a little bit about something they're developing or coming out with. And then BFA's 141 modernization team, a representative or so from there, we'll talk about that. And then I'll talk about flight training, CFI training, and differences between how we train and what we do in the field, like some disconnects and how we can overcome some of that and how we can make better CFIs, right? That I'm on all about doing that, right? And then David St. George, Director of SAFE, will speak about some more advanced topics like the disconnects between what I said and how to fix those. And then there's going to be a panel called The Wizards. I guess I'm going to be a wizard, I guess, right? And so we'll have a panel of people there, and then it'll be a Q&A. And they're going to serve ice cream of all. It's like an ice cream social. That sounds funny, right? But hey, you know, it can draw a lot of people. It's going to be hot out there. It's Lakeland in April. It's not the garden spot anymore. It's getting to that time of year. Like today, we have thunderstorms, right? It just first of the season, kind of, right? I don't remember any up until now. All right, so that's kind of what's happening now. I'm going to arrive on taking the Brightline. It's a high speed train from Miami up to Orlando Airport, and then somehow I'll get from there to the show. And so my plan is to get to the show about 1:00, 1:30 on Friday, so Friday the 4th. And then Saturday all day at the show and in the booth mostly, except for that when I have to do the show, the Power Hour, I won't be available to talk to anybody from 12 to 1. And then I have moderators to take hour 2 and 3 of the after show, right, the community show. Open mics, so I've got that covered. And then I have to leave about 3:30 to get over to the Prop 75 room to be able to do the presentation and to be part of the CFI roundup that's over there. So I'll be that way. And this is all free to you. Now, get in the show, you have to pay. I forgot how much it is, maybe 40, 45 in this region. But the show and all the stuff I'm telling you about is free. If you want to stop by the booth, I'll be happy to talk to you. Now, I'll leave on Sunday, the next day. The train's at 11, so I have to leave the hotel by 9:30, 9 o'clock. All right, let's talk about the pro tips so we can get out of here. If you're in your car or wherever you are, you're like, hey, wait, don't stop talking. I still have another 15 minutes. We're not going to be 15 minutes. We're going to be about another 5 to 10 at maximum, okay? We'll get you out of here by 25, 30 minutes for sure. Okay, so pro tip number one, this is about taxiing. It's a good tip. When you're slowing down during taxiing and you need to come to a full stop, you ever notice that sometimes they push the brakes really hard, back and forth you go, like rocking back and forth, lurching it's called. So I'm going to tell you how not to avoid that. So your taxi is going to be smooth at the end, right? So what you do is apply the brakes like normal, but then as you get to where you're going to be and you're slowing down, just before you come to a stop, release the brakes entirely. And let the airplane just coast for a second. And there'll be no lurching. And it'll be smooth as silk. So that's pretty good. You'll get good at this after you practice a little bit. All right? Number 2 pro tip. One hand on the throttle, please. No two hands, none of that stuff. That's for jets and other things. It's not for a piston airplane, a training airplane. Consider the throttle as another flight control. It says you may need to use it quickly and sometimes a little aggressively. So when taxiing, if your hand isn't on the throttle, then you're probably just setting an arbitrary power setting and riding the brakes all the way to where you're going. So that's not good for them. That's really bad airmanship. So don't do that. So anyway, there's that. Also engage with the airplane by using the throttle to achieve the desired performance that you want. So for example, if you're coming up to a turn and need to tighten a turn, right? Well, you push in the rudder, the pedals, and you push it all the way. That's not enough. You tap on the brake. That's not enough. You add some power. Now you can tighten the turn even more, right? But with your hand not being there, it doesn't come to mind, right? A lot of these things aren't there. So you should consider this throttle a flight control, except for in non-critical phases of flight. For example, in cruise flight, not so important. But like during takeoff, if your hand isn't on the throttle, where is it? Do you need two hands to pull the yoke back or the stick back? I don't think so. If you do, lift some weights, get some buckets of water, get something going on there, right? Take something. Caffeine, anything, right? Whatever was going to make you stronger, right? But if you don't need that. So what's happened is those friction nuts on a lot of these, or the friction settings, I should say, on the throttle, it's usually a clamp down mechanism of some kind. They get weak over time. And you'll see the throttle will slip on back sometimes. And if your brain is in condition to have your hand on the throttle, you won't notice it necessarily if it goes slowly. And then you're not climbing at full power and you're wondering, a lot of these things. So keep your hand on the throttle, okay? Keep your damn hand on the throttle, okay? If I saw you doing that, I would yell at you. So I would yell at you and say, hey, hand on throttle. And it's hard to break this primacy rule. So you're going to have to, if you're one of those two-handed people, get over it and start doing the other way. Okay, the last pro tip is pro tip number 3. And this is one of my favorite things to hate on. I'm going to hate on it right now. Kicking out the crab at the last moment during a crosswind landing. It's only a good idea in a large airplane that has a lot of momentum, okay? It's heavy. It doesn't work very well in a light airplane. So this kick out the crab, this kind of nonsense, forget that, okay? Because what happens is you would have to do it in such a way that you're not going to drift, which means that you'd have to do it so close to the ground, if you could even get that close. Then you kick out because you're going to drift just as soon as you do that. The wind's going to start pushing you. Now, if your wheels contact the surface like in a millisecond, you're not going to drift very far. But then if the wind is strong, that wing could come up, right? So you still have to have the crosswind correction in anyway. But in a large airplane, a big one, all right, the engines are close to the ground. And if you try to crab and do that, number one, the passengers go sideways. And the second thing then is the engines might scrape the ground. So you don't want to do that. So there's a limit. And so for them, their landing gears are designed to have side load. So they will take a fair amount of side load. So what can happen is when that point, when they get to the center line of the runway and it's time to leave the crabbing condition and to now straighten the airplane out, you straighten it out with a pedal, keep the wings level, and then let the wheels hit the ground. But the airplane is so heavy and has so much momentum that it goes straight pretty much. It does, and it's, look about the speed. So the speed of like a 777 on landing, say 140, 150, let's say that, right? Around that. And you look at the crosswind, maybe 30. That's 3/6, 9, that's 1/5 of the total available speed. So your drift angle is pretty low anyway. It's not bad, right? You take an airplane that's going 60 and you have a 30 knot wind. Now you got a big old drift angle, right? And by the way, you can calculate what the drift angle will be if you want to. I'm going to make your brain explode. So that's a ratio. It's not an angle, but it's close. You can use it like this. So the number 60, so we can transform the units, times the wind velocity in knots, divided by the truest speed of your airplane. So let's take example. So let's take a wind speed of 30. So you got 30 times 60 is 1800. And then divide it by 150. And you can see the drift angle is like 10 degrees. Not much, right? But now look at it like this. So now let's take your landing speed of your airplane. So 1800, the same number, but divide it by like 60. Oh, now you're talking, right? So you can't get away with just kicking out the crab because you're going to drift substantially. Okay, so I just want to get that to you. So in that case, you want to do a side slip. And if you never heard this before, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And if you can do it this way, you'll improve your ability to land a crosswind like mega. Let me tell you how to do it. You can land in 20-knot crosswind, 15-knot crosswind tomorrow if you practice this a little bit. Now you're really intrigued, right? So listen to the words and try to visualize it, because some of you are just listening by in a car or something. So first thing you want to do when you're training with this is to just straighten the airplane out and parallel the runway with the rudder. It's going to drift, right? But initially, if you set it so the tip to tail is parallel to the runway, and you keep it parallel, so the airplane's going to drift the course of the wind, but it's going to be going parallel to the runway all the time. So the rudder control is to parallel the runway. And then the ailerons are going to be used to maintain the center line. So now what you do is parallel the runway with the center line with the rudder. And as soon as you notice any kind of drift, you start pushing the aileron in until, whatever that is, until you're over the center line from however far out you are. And you keep those inputs and you adjust them accordingly as the wind changes and as your speed maybe changes, all the way down through the landing roll out. It'll tell you exactly how much of each flight control to use, right? How much rudder? Enough to keep the airplane straight. You know, parallel the runway. How much aileron? Enough to stay over the center line. Because if you drift, you know, you need more aileron. If you go the other way, a little too much, right? So that'll tell you how much of each flight control to use. Okay, my, we've done it all, haven't we? So we're coming up on the end of the show. Happy that you were able to hear it today. And if I can meet you at Sun and Fun, stop on by. I'm happy to say hi. That's fine, right? Stop by, no problem. Join our Power Hour if you can on Saturday. It's a great show, and it's filled with useful information. You can only see them for free live. Otherwise, you have to join our membership site. So try to show up on Saturdays. And there's a lot of people, a lot of people. Like I say, between 400 and 800 nowadays. So stop on by, right? Do that and see what guests we're going to have during the year. Those are going to be fun to have some people in. On this week's show, which I don't know if this will be out before then, but it's on that would be the 29th. We're going to have a DPE panel. Common check right failures, what to do about them. I've got three DPEs, plus I was a former DP, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to moderate that. Okay, then we're going to open up the room again after the show so people can ask questions, and I think that's a pretty good thing if you're facing that fate, right? So you can go to our website, cfibootcamp.com. The top, there's a bar. It says get something about this blue, get it now, something like that. Click it, and then you'll get the Power Hour invitation. I'm sure Nick will put into the newsletter. He'll put the physical link in there. So if you don't know how to get the newsletter, go down to the bottom of our website, cfibootcamp.com, and there's an opt-in box down there for the newsletter. Fill that out, and you'll get a copy of this one and the future ones to come. Okay, so that's it for this episode. I told you I'd have you out within 30 minutes. I'm a minute and a half early, so I get credit, right? But, oh, no, you're not where you're going, right? You're past the 7-Eleven by your house. That's what's happening. All right, so anyway, me and Garfield... going to say goodbye. So for another episode of Flight Training, the way I see it, the way we see it. This has been a production of Flight Training, the way I see it. News, tips, and opinion.